And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We are coming to you this morning, April 26, 2025. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned.
There's a spirit in our land raising up the kind of man with a burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to a people who loved their liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. They call the king into accounting for his disregard of law, told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Such preacher men today to show our people the way to redeem their lost liberty. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on land and say, from bad law we will keep our people free. Through the jury we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms and pray, worship God on. Jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for a people who love their liberty. For a people who will die for liberty.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, April 26, 2025. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, Will, we'll ask you if you'd start us off with a word of prayer this morning.
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather together and have a conversation, Lord, about what's going on in the world. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless this conversation, Lord, and that we will glorify you and uplift the remnant that's out there listening, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to live in this free land, Lord, that we can have this kind of conversation. And Lord, we just pray that you will bless it now and be with our church and our people and protect us in these perilous times. Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. I appreciate that. Well, there is a lot of things that are going on in the world. There's a lot of things to talk about. I guess the talk of the town right now would be Pope Francis dying. That was interesting. And, you know, the Pope dying, and, you know, should we really care?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I tell you what, I really don't know a lot about Pope Francis, to tell you the truth. But I've seen a lot of stuff that's coming out, and I don't even know. I was started looking into some of it, but some people are saying that he was the most corrupt Pope that the Catholic Church ever had. And I don't know a lot about that. I didn't know if anybody else does know anything about that, if that's just a conspiracy, if that's, you know, what that is entails. But I've seen it several places, and some of them, when that I looked at it, it was, I mean, they were actually some Catholic organizations talking bad about Pope Francis. And I don't know. You guys got any ideas on that, or any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's if he's the worst one that they've had, I'd say he's really bad, because it seems to me like they just kind of go from bad to worse. But that's kind of my opinion on the whole thing. But I think that there's a whole bunch of things there when you look at Matthew 23 has a whole bunch to say on that kind of stuff. I think it talks about that. I think it talks a lot about what we would call Catholicism today. You know, I was kind of interested in what that word Pope meant, you know, so I looked it up, and it comes from Papas, which is Greek for father. And he's the Bishop of Rome and the head of the Holy See. I was like, okay, what's a Holy See? And that means, if you translate it, it means holy chair. And Christ, in 23, in chapter 23, we're told that, you know, that they love the chief seats in the synagogues, and that they talks about this. They sit in, the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and those are chairs, right? Isn't that what you sit on, is a chair? So I think a lot of that is, and then in Matthew 23, it says that call no man father, but call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And I think that when you start going through that, why should we care? I mean, he's a poser. I mean, that's my opinion. So I just, yeah.
Well, and that's the scripture that I was going to read, was Matthew 23:8, and it says, "And call," and this is King James Version, "and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And, you know, that's one thing that's always bothered me about the Catholic Church, is, you know, they want people calling them father, and it's simply contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time. Not to obviously, you know, I'm not going to try to top what you guys just said. To me, as far as I'm concerned, we could put a period on it right there. But specifically, this Pope Francis, something that was interesting to me of just looking into this is he is the only Pope that has been a Jesuit. And if anyone has done any reading on the Jesuit order, you know, that to me says something in itself. But, you know, as Americans especially, and, you know, I know there are a large number of Catholics that are in the United States, but as Americans, we should take a look at what this Pope has had to say about things that have plagued our country in the last 4 years, like immigration. Right. And we should also, you know, we shouldn't forget what, like Catholic Charities of America, you know,
exactly.
the war that they've helped rage on our country by funneling money into this invasion. I mean, truly, if you stop and think about it, under the direction of this Pope and under the leadership of this Pope Francis, They have perpetrated an invasion of illegals in our country using Catholic money and Catholic charities. And in my mind, at least, the legacy of this fella is that. You know, that is certainly in recent memory, that is the war that's been waged against our country at the hands of this man. If you look into his background, he's, you know, an Argentinian Jesuit who was known as a communist sympathizer and potentially just a card-carrying member, a communist himself. And I think he was, you know, placed in the position that he was in. It would not surprise me if he was placed in the position of Pope to perpetrate what has happened all across the world, specifically our country. But, you know, we are not the only ones who have experienced an invasion over the last 4 years. This has happened all through Europe. You know, the European, westernized European countries have been invaded by brown people from all four corners of the earth. And this has been done at the hands of the Catholic Church. It has been financed at the hands of the Catholic Church. And so I don't know if that's really what we should be talking about as far as this Pope, but as far as legacies and, you know, what this Pope has done, that's certainly how I will remember him.
Well, and I think that there was also under those Catholic charities, there was a lot of money laundering that took place from what I've understood.
Yes.
And they've worked hand in hand with government agencies and have funneled money into the Catholic charities and used that. And, you know, basically it's been a huge money laundering scheme and that, you know, getting people transporting illegals all across the United States. I mean, and basically funded the invasion, which, you know, is, thank God, is a lot of this stuff is coming to a halt and coming to light. But I think there's a lot more there that happened than we even realize.
Yeah, there was a lot of aiding and abetting going on there for sure.
Yeah, just the amount of vehicles and stuff that they were buying. I mean, there was, you know, parts of Texas and different areas where you couldn't buy a passenger van or a passenger vehicle because they were all purchased by Catholic charities. And they were using them to pick these people up down along the border and get them across the country. I mean, basically get them all across the United States. And they had a complete network of, you know, smuggling these illegals and taking them, you know, just everywhere. So
the Catholic Church was the last leg of child trafficking and human trafficking. I mean, call it what it is. And I shouldn't even say the last leg because they were responsible all through Central America. And, you know, the Darien Gap, we know, you know, the aid stations that, you know, these folks, as they were making this journey, these were all ran by the Catholic Church. They from pretty much start to finish brought in, and you know, and one of the things to say, Tom Homan, the border czar, the former director of the Department of, or excuse me, of ICE, that's under Trump now. He had a quote, I think it was this week, where he was specifically talking about the Democrats of why they're so ticked off about the border of stopping this invasion. He said, you know, well, we just stopped the next generation of Democrat voters from coming into America. And, you know, I'll tie that right into us talking about this Pope as well. If, you know, you stop and think, you know, cui bono, who benefits? Well, the Catholic Church was going to benefit as well because the overwhelming majority of these people that they were bringing in, these strangers that they were bringing in to our country were Catholics.
Right.
And they were going to benefit from that. And at the end of the day, Jason, we were talking about the money laundering or whatever. It's just they were just benefiting from it. Financially, I think we know that it's come out that it was well over, gosh, do you remember the number, Jason, with $400-something million that was laundered? I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, 400. I was thinking 450 million to 500 million. It was somewhere in that,
yeah,
in that number.
Yeah. So it just, I guess I don't know what will be flung upon the world as far as the next Pope is concerned, but I think we should probably expect a little more of the same. That's my opinion.
So how does that work? Do they is a pope appointed, or do they vote on him, or is, I mean, there's got to be some kind of process. Who do they decide the next pope is? What do you know what that is?
Tim, do you know?
Well, the bishops have a conclave, and they basically select. I mean, it's not a popular vote among all the dioceses or anything.
Not like they have a vice president pope sitting there ready to take over, who's going to be the next guy.
No.
Okay, all right. I was just curious. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, right now they have the bishop of Rome, or whatever he's called, or vice bishop of Rome or something. He's going to run the office until the new selection is made, which they're already working on. I did see an article come down about the fact that they were already working on that because of what ill he had been previously. It's kind of worth saying too. Is there any significance to the fact that he died on Easter Ishtar? Mm-hmm. mean, that one swings both ways, because some people who are not pro-Catholic are like, well, there was the Ishtar holiday, and of course the Catholics are going, oh yeah, he was so blessed, he, was taken on Easter. And it's like, wow. So pretty strange stuff.
It occurs to me from time to time, when there's some significance date-wise and numerology-wise and all of that kind of stuff, that Luciferians have historically had a knack of eating their own on certain dates. And I don't really know if that's the correct thing to say here, but I didn't look at it as something holy in relation to his death. I looked at it as more of a, I don't want to say sacrifice, because I think that would lead people to believe like a holy sacrifice. I don't see it as a holy sacrifice. I think it was maybe a sacrifice to the synagogue of Satan. I don't really know of a better way of saying that. Maybe y'all can clean that up for me, but I hope that makes sense what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're trying to say, but interesting. I mean, I thought about that too, and it's like, okay, so what are they trying to do? Are they trying to, was it designed? Was it done by purpose on that day? I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do. I know they got a lot of different strange rituals and stuff like that that take place, and so you never know what they got up their sleeve. I know it kind of reminds me of what some of the stuff we were talking about, the trafficking and stuff. And I know that, there's a lot of stuff that's come out over the last couple of years on, the Catholic charities helping or being involved with, the trafficking and the transportation of, people. And, we talked a little bit about it last week, but these children that they're basically forcing to go into the Ukrainian army, and we're not talking, we're talking about children, but we're talking about girls the age of 14 that are put into a military scenario and situation, and are given training and stuff. And it's just like, man, it's just, I mean, I've got, my daughter, she'll be 18 next week. And yeah, I mean, just the thought of, I've got a 14-year-old son, and I wouldn't send him off to war or battle or, does he train? Does he, does he know how to use a firearm? Does he know how to do that? Yeah. There are certain things that come out of, necessity and living on a farm. And when, he's got to be prepared, we were talking about it today, and it's, wolf eat sheep. And when you've got, predators coming after your chickens or your livestock, you've got to protect them. I mean, and that's, that's a duty, and that's what we have to do. And, but, here they're talking about, putting these young girls into those positions, and they're making it out like it's such a great and fantastic thing. And it's just, it's horrible.
Yeah. Deutsche Welle, the German news outlet, they actually ran a video inside the I don't know really what to call it, a boot camp for these kids. It's like a summer camp, and they're not hiding anything. You know, they're talking about, you know, this is to, they're going to be adults one day. And you know, this is kind of the pre-boot camp to get them ready to go to war. And I'm looking, I watched this video a few times, and I just saw these, you know, beautiful young girls and boys, and they're there, you know, telling the world that they're ready to go die on the battlefield. You know, and there was one specific, I think it was a 17-year-old girl who was very adamant that she was willing to go die. And tying that back to, you know, last week's conversation with the EU leader just talking about the Talmudic influence of, you know, of the Talmudic influence on Europe, and then seeing this, you know, and thinking about the Ukrainian military leader who talked about the Israeli model, and just looking at, to me, the Ukraine has no plans on shutting this war down. They're training up the next generation of sacrifice to go die on those battlefields. And I think I would be remiss if I didn't tie this into what we were talking about with the Catholic Church, of the child trafficking, and the Catholic Church not really having a good record on how they've treated children worldwide within their church. And just looking at this, of this piece from Deutsche Welle that was glorifying this. You know, Jason, I know you looked at it. Tim, I don't know if you got a chance to take a look at it or not, but this was not a negative news article. This was a positive piece that we should feel good, you know, about these children training to go off and be killed on a battlefield. And it's, if that's not the Talmudic influence, I don't know what is.
Well, and I think that they get a lot. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tim.
It occurred to me as I was reading it, I was taking a look at that, and I was wondering how that played into their rules. The Geneva Convention of 1949 totally prohibits mm-hmm. children in active battle situations under the age of 18. I mean, that's, you know, so these same people who would beat that drum as far as the Geneva Convention on this and that and everything else.
They're going to blot that part out.
But, you know, that's just mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, and the thought that occurred to me too is how much more that they love to kill that young innocent blood, and how it's much more of a sacrifice to them when they get to kill these young children. I mean, you know, the Bible states, you know, and our people were commanded, we had to be 20 years of age to go to battle. And it wasn't the boys and the girls, it was the young men. And when they reached that age of accountability of 20 years old, then they could go to battle. They love to kill that innocent blood. And I think that they, you know, the enemies thrive on it. And, you know, we've talked about, we've got that book, The War is a Racket. And I think that really ties into it. It is a racket for them. They do, you know, it's not just a money racket, but it's a spiritual racket too. And I think that they, you know, they and the other thing that they love is they love when our people, you know, we've got all different sects, but white people are fighting against other white people and killing each other. Mm-hmm. They thrive off of that. And I really believe that.
Well, and think of the generational damage done there of the innocence loss of all those sort of things. I mean, anyone who's ever been in those kind of situations knows that it changes. There's a change, and you never really can go back. I mean, it's not that you can't go on, but it's just one of those. There's a shift there in a whole bunch of things, and to place that burden, and that's what it is. It's a burden upon children that are not the innocence that they are denying them, and that they are forcing to be lost. Like you said, it increases the savor to those, you know, evil and bastard gods of the world that run around there and do that, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, and it makes so much sense. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, with so much of the stuff that's happened over in Ukraine, I mean, we've got to where, you know, we were, you know, it wasn't that long ago, us as the United States were sending them, you know, just boatloads of money, giving them up in arms and stuff, giving them arms, munitions, missiles, tanks, you name it. You know, the stuff basically funding, I think we probably funded, you know, a third to a half of their army. I mean, it was just unbelievable how much stuff we ended up giving them. And the money laundering and stuff that took place during that. We can go down and we could talk about all the different things that, you know, that we've talked about over the time. But I mean, the bio labs and the labs that were there and Hunter Biden and, you know, his outrageous amounts of money that he was receiving and, you know, the tribe, the ties between, Biden and, you know, all the different officials and stuff over there. And now we've got, assassinations, attempts or threats that are being traced back to Ukraine. That's kind of interesting. It's very interesting. Do you, any of you gentlemen know anything about that?
Well, first off, everything you just described, you know, the enormous amount of money that was being laundered through the Ukraine and all of the shenanigans that were going on there, it would make sense that they have a vested interest in doing away with Trump, because he wants to end this war, right? He wants to end the flow of the weapons that are going through the Ukraine and being sold off on the black market. Pretty much what he's wanting to do is to shut the door on that. So just from that in itself, that would make sense of why, Trump is probably not the most favored guy in the Ukraine right now, but there was a 17-year-old young man, a boy, who murdered his parents, his stepfather and his father, and it was just bizarre, and stole $14,000 in cash from them. And it has come out now that the motive behind this is he intended on assassinating President Trump. But it gets a lot deeper than that because, you know, this just wasn't homegrown with him as far as an idea. What has come out now in this investigation is that he had been communicating via Telegram, the social media platform Telegram, with an overseas agent. And looking into this, an FBI affidavit that has been released shows that he was communicating directly with someone in the Ukraine. And having in-depth conversations about what he was going to do, and was being handled and led towards that end as far as trying to assassinate President Trump. And it comes out now that the $14,000 that he stole from his stepfather and his mother was going to buy a drone that could be weaponized to drop explosives. And it's fascinating when you're looking at this. And if we remember the second assassination attempt that we know about as far as the news that happened down in Mar-a-Lago, that was the guy that was hiding by the golf course with the SKS rifle. That guy, whose name escapes me right now, is probably not even worth saying, but that guy had been in the Ukraine multiple times and was a supporter for the Ukraine of raising money and attempting to get Americans to go to the Ukraine to fight for the Ukrainians. So he has a direct tie to Ukraine as well. I don't know. It's probably just a coincidence. I don't know. What do y'all think?
I don't know. I've read quite a bit of stuff on it, and it's just, to me, it's just interesting. And it's like, okay, how deep does this really run? I mean, it's basically, from what I see is, you know, this 17-year-old kid, he got a handler. And I think that they were giving him all kinds of instructions. I think that they were, you know, leading him by the hand every step of the way. I mean, that's my two cents. That's what I gather out of it. But I can't prove that. That's just, you know, my thoughts and where my mind is went. But it's very interesting. And I think
it
looks to me. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Tim.
No, go ahead, Tim.
It looks to me like there's some evidence that the first shooter at Trump there at that rally was also in conversation with these the same Ukrainian group that that this kid who killed his folks was in. And then I think it's interesting, too, that the mainstream media, the one that was down there at Palm Beach, who was going to take a pot shot at Trump, his name was Ryan Wesley Brown. But he's another three-namer, and anytime you see him three-name somebody, that usually is kind of a, that's kind of a, oh, isn't that interesting? So, I'll, if you know, you know. But at any rate, yeah, those people are definitely in, and they definitely have the dog in the fight as far as getting rid of him because they want that money flow to continue. And it's interesting that during Doge's look into where the Ukrainian money went, there was a whole bunch of it missing. And I'm talking more than a dollar or two. There was millions that had disappeared. So it's another, what we were talking about earlier, it's another money laundering scheme. I mean, that money's just being funneled somewhere else, not even necessarily to them, although they're getting it. They're certainly getting some of it. So anyway,
well, and Ukraine, and we talked about this in the past too, but I mean, they're responsible for taking these weapons and just basically taking them, what we gave them, and selling it on the black market to combat other white people too. So, I mean, that we don't need to forget about that.
Jason, I don't know if you've got any follow-up to it or not, but I'll tell you what I heard this afternoon. You know, we talked about it last Saturday. About the 180,000 rounds of ammunition that was intercepted there in Colorado.
Right.
I was told this afternoon because it was 150,000 rounds of 308, and then the remainder was 7.62x39. I was told that was all ammunition that was supposed to be in the Ukraine.
Really? Huh. Oh, wow. Really? Okay, I had not heard that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I haven't found any news source or anything yet, but supposedly that was picked up, and I was going to bring this up for the conversation, and maybe you can enlighten me on it, but it was supposedly picked up in Utah that had been shipped in internationally. It was loaded up in Utah, and its final destination was Pueblo, Colorado. Any idea of why it would be going to Pueblo?
I don't know. It's kind of a – I don't know how you say it on the air, but it's a – it's kind of a pit. And there's a lot of gang activity down there.
Well, and that was going to be my question, is there a lot of gang activity down there?
Yes, there is. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that I did. I heard that this afternoon that specifically the 308 was ammunition that had been sent to the Ukraine for machine guns. It was belted 308.
Wow, that's interesting.
So,
yeah, I don't know. Pueblo is it's an interesting. It's you know, Southern Colorado, but it is there's a lot of drugs that come out of there. There's a lot of gang activity that comes out of there. It's not far from one of the places that people travel from around the world to go and get these gender reassignment surgeries done. So I mean, it's a pit. It's definitely not a place that you want to be. Anyway, that's just a side note. I did want to tell you though, the documents that you were talking about earlier, that had gotten released on, this kid trying to, wanting to assassinate President Trump. I did get that all loaded up on the Newswire. So if anybody wants to go through those documents, there's quite a few of them, but I did get them posted at the Newswire. So you can check out www.sfawbn.com and check those out if you're interested in reading that. And I put up actually quite a few things that we're talking about this morning. So be sure to check that website out, sfawbn.com.
You know, kind of as a parting shot on this, Jason, just I was thinking as you were talking there of, you know, what we've talked about thus far between the child trafficking and the human trafficking, and what's going on in Ukraine with the child soldiers, and then talking about this young man that killed his parents that had a Ukrainian handler, and possibly the same thing for the young man that was there in Pennsylvania. The tie there is, you know, these are all kids. They're all white kids, and they're all being led to ruin. And I just think that that's an interesting tie of, when you really look at it, it's different scenarios, but at the end of the day, it's all the same result. And that is the innocence being stolen from these kids and a generation being lost.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. Well, and we're seeing all these ties that are coming together with these gangs and these judges and these, you know, officials and, you know, this Tren de Aragua gang. I mean, it's getting a lot of coverage on different things that have happened, you know, throughout the United States, Colorado. You know, we've had them take over apartment complexes here in Colorado. Down in New Mexico, there was just one article that I seen that where a judge resigns after one of these TDA members was arrested at his home. And, you know, there's pictures of him basically, you know, living in the guy's house, from what I understand, posing with firearms at this guy's house. And this is an active gang member. And, you know, it makes me wonder, it's like, okay, so how many of these, you know, criminals are tied in with some of these other criminals who are in, you know, high up office situations? Because, and I just think that way because it's like, other than that, it's like, how do they get 180,000 rounds of ammunition shipped in internationally into Utah and take it to Pueblo, Colorado? I mean, there's got to be more people involved than, you know, just these gang members. That's my two cents worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely that's help.
So. There's definitely some infrastructure there, that's for sure.
Yeah, do you, any of you guys know about what this guy that that got picked up and this judge that that ended up quitting down in New Mexico?
I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay.
I'll make a funny on it and just say, as you were talking there, Jason, and you were talking about the TDA gang member and then the judge, and you referred to criminal, I didn't know which one you meant.
That's kind of what I was going with it. It's like,
yeah, well, that's funny stuff. I don't know anything about it other than I know the guy has been essentially fired. I guess there is a Supreme Court of New Mexico or something like that who stepped in, and he was a county magistrate. I'm trying to remember the county, Dona Ana, I think, county in New Mexico, and he was posting this stuff on social media, and I guess someone realized what was happening there, and this was all happening in March, and the Supreme Court there in New Mexico stepped in, and he's been stripped of being a judge. He can no longer ever be a judge again, which is fine, but there's still no explanation of why this Venezuelan gang member, who's an illegal alien, what the connection and the tie is there. But I mean, if you look through some of these photos, they're eating like dinner. Like, I mean, it looks like a Christmas party,
right,
or something. I mean, they're very obvious. Yeah, it looks like a family dinner. That's exactly right. So I don't know what's going on there, but something that this would just be all conjecture. I can't say that this is what happened in this instance, but remember that there have been so many strangers who have come into this country. We kind of talked about this last week, as far as there are activists in every community that they may have American citizenship that's been bestowed on them, but their loyalty and their allegiance is not to America. It is to people who look like them that are coming from foreign countries. I don't know if that's what the instance was here with this particular judge, but just because they have citizenship that has been granted to them, let's not kid ourselves and pretend that they are citizens of our country. Their loyalties and their allegiance lie other places. And that may have been what happened here. I don't know. Like I said, it's just, that would be me just guessing.
Well, it's strange how many of them get caught like that. It's just something just like that. I heard one the other day that kind of runs along the same lines as the fact that the judge who basically found Trump guilty of falsifying documents for his loan, you know, that he ended up in jail for, she basically resigning because she got caught doing that. I mean, it was like she had said that there were only two units and there was actually four units and whatever this apartment complex thing she was trying to borrow government money on. And it's like, you're back to that Matthew 23 thing again. They make one rule for themselves and another rule for everyone else. And it's like, well, it's okay if I break the rule, but you can't, you know, and God takes a pretty dim view of that, I think. I mean, it's like, no, it's you're all under the same rule. So I thought it was – go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tim.
No, that's all right. I mean, really, Jason, it's fine.
No, I was just going to say, I was going to step back and say that there's just, I mean, there's a lot of corruption and stuff that's happened down in New Mexico. And there's, I mean, some very beautiful parts of New Mexico. I really like a lot of New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, a couple years ago, and this is going back, you know, 5-6 years ago, I was down in Albuquerque for... Oh, just a short period of time, but I had a friend of mine who was from here in Colorado that had went down there and had been doing some schooling down there, and was telling me about the corruption and the amount of people, and he was telling me that a lot of weeks right there where he was that there would be two people come up missing a week, and he said they just disappeared. I mean, and it was high-end cartels that were stealing people, stealing their identity, murdering them, and just they never even found the bodies. And there was just ongoing investigation after investigation. And actually, a friend of his had ended up missing, went out to a club one night, and that was the last time he was seen, just vanished. No sign of him. They ended up using his identity to empty his bank accounts, cash out some cards, get some credit card stuff in a very rapid amount of time. And the FBI was investigating and there was all kinds of investigation stuff that was going on, but it was just, it was very common down there. You know, we don't have that kind of stuff happen around here on a regular basis, but I couldn't believe about how common it was down there.
It's interesting when, you know, the sort of things don't strike close to home. And when you think about it, I know here a while back we had some human trafficking issues going on in the area locally here. And it really, really set the community back on their heels because the people that were involved in it, no one, you know, just nobody thought about it. It was just like, that's something you read about in the news. That's something you hear about on the web or something like that. That doesn't happen in our backyard, but it does go on. You know, there's that kind of stuff going on all the time.
Yeah.
They just keep it covered up.
It is. I mean, it's just, I mean, you just never know. And, I don't know. I wanted to take a step back. There was something that I was going to talk about earlier, but I forgot. And it was, I just seen it, but it was the Slovak prime minister issues a warning on the COVID vaccines. And I just want to read a little bit of this article because I thought it was pretty interesting. And I think we got time to get in here. I know we got a couple other things that we need to be talking about, but it says, quote, Slovak prime minister Robert Fico is calling for an immediate halt to state purchases of COVID-19 vaccines. Fico refers to a domestic research report claiming that the experimental mRNA vaccine contains very high levels of DNA and other substances not disclosed by pharmaceutical companies. The prime minister points out that a commission led by orthopedic doctor Peter Kotler of the ruling Slovak National Party, SNS, submitted a report in October suggesting that mRNA vaccines can affect human DNA and that they have not been adequately tested. The report initially led to the consideration of a total ban on the vaccines in Slovakia. Koettler, who also described the COVID-19 pandemic as an act of bioterrorism and a fabricated operation, accuses vaccine manufacturers Moderna and Pfizer of turning vaccinated people into genetically modified organisms. And I thought that was a pretty good statement. I mean, that's one of the things that we've been saying from here for a long time, and warning people about the dangers of that vaccine. And, you know, here's basically the prime minister coming out and saying the exact same thing. So I'm praise God that they got leaders like this that are waking up and telling the truth and banning, you know, this. Basically what I think it is, bioterrorism, turning them into bioengineered organisms. I was encouraged by that.
Turning us into something that God didn't want us to be. Yeah, exactly.
A little more encouragement closer to the home front. A couple of days ago, I don't know if y'all caught this, but RFK Jr., the Health and Human Services Secretary, came out and is recommending that the COVID-19 vaccines be removed from all childhood recommended immunization protocols. Essentially, unless you're 18 or older, he doesn't want that vaccine being offered to children. And this is the direction that he's told the CDC to go. And the particular article that I read says, you know, no final decision had been made. But this is, you know, it's within RFK's purview to make that policy. So it seems like he is moving very quickly to essentially outlaw that the NRA vaccine from being administered to children.
Praise the Lord.
Here in the States.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Once again, not making a lot of news, but I did just pull up the article. It was from 2 days ago that came out. So hopefully we'll know something soon on that. But that is his policy recommendation in the CDC. So praise God on that.
Praise God. That is awesome. And I'm looking for the day when they come out and they say that all those vaccines are worthless and ineffective and, you know, don't give them anything.
Right.
Yeah, no
I kidding. Seen one. I seen one the other day that if you took your child in for their vaccinations, and if instead of the doctor saying, "Well, we're going to give them mumps, rubella, and whatever else," what we're actually going to give them is discarded fetal cells, mercury, monkey DNA, formaldehyde, aluminized, you know, whatever,
lead, mercury, and say, heavy metals, and
yeah. Yeah, what parent would say, yeah, shoot them up. You know?
Oh, that sounds like a good idea. I think we should sign up. Is there anything else that we can throw in there? You got some used motor oil or some antifreeze we can add to it?
Yeah. One of those things when they say it is supposedly good parenting, but if you gave your child the other list of items that we just said, that would be considered child abuse, you know? So it's like, it's some more of that, just how they color it. I also did think that it was interesting to note that the FDA just came out and they said that they're on the move to remove pharmaceutical representatives from their advisory panels. And their aim is to restore public trust in the FDA, you know. And when we consider that, the fact that doctors are incentivized to keep or make people sick, and not all doctors are evil creatures, you know, I realize that. Okay, so, I mean, some of them are actually good people with good hearts that serve God and want to help. But there's a group of them out there that don't bother to do their due, you know, diligence on making sure that it helps and doesn't harm. So anyways, I thought that was interesting.
Well, going along with since we're talking about RFK and stuff that maybe not be making it into national news, this was also from 2 days ago. RFK came out and has announced eight harmful dyes that are going to be phased out of U.S. food.
Yeah.
And my understanding is this is going to be pretty doggone quick. It's blue dye number one, blue dye number two, citrus red number two, green number three, orange B, red dye 40, yellow number five, and yellow number six. These are all petroleum-based dyes. that have been put in the food now for forever. And there was one particular quote that I just thought was great. Kennedy said, for over the last 50 years, American children have increasingly been living in a toxic soup of synthetic chemicals, and that stops today. And I keep looking at what this guy's doing, and I know it's not making a whole bunch of news, but just praise God that this is one guy who told us this is what he was going to do if he got the appointment, and it sure as heck seems to be what he's doing.
No, and that's
yeah,
that's
he takes his job very seriously.
He does, and yeah. It's important stuff. And I'll tell you what, just having I've got my 14-year-old. He is allergic to I can't remember which one it is, but I'm very very allergic to one of the red dyes. And I mean, we've tried really hard to stay away from all of that garbage as much as we can. But occasionally, I mean, there's been a couple times where, he's picked something up. I mean, whether it's, you know, from a jelly bean, and it takes him just, I mean, he can eat one jelly bean with one of those colors in it. And I think it's the red number 5 or something, whatever it is, but one of those is enough to affect him. And I mean, he kind of goes crazy. And I mean, it's some seriously bad stuff, and it doesn't have the same effect upon everybody, but it's bad for everybody. And I mean, it's a bunch of garbage, and it should never have been put in a food to begin with.
Right. Well, and a lot of those red dyes, I think, are made out of bugs. I mean, you know, so you're back to that whole 7 mm-hmm. bugs I can't think, you know, the creepy crawlies. So they just, and I think it's worthy of note that the fact that a lot of these dyes that we're talking about are illegal
in other countries.
Oh, European.
Yeah.
But it's okay if they push it here. So, yeah, that'll give us a little pause and make us scratch our head a little bit.
I know. I was talking with somebody here. It's been several months, but talking about the dangers of these food dyes and stuff, and how we need to get it out of our diet. And I hope that it does. You know that they do ban it. And you know, they looked at me like I was nuts. They thought I was crazy. And they're like, "What are you talking about? You know, there's not dyes like that in our food. There's not stuff they wouldn't put anything." And that's kind of one of the things that I'm encouraged by people waking up is people are saying, well, they wouldn't let them put, that's what the FDA is there for. They wouldn't let them put anything in your food that wasn't good for you. And, you know, that is being exposed and by a long shot, and people are waking up to that. So it's like, I'm really happy with what I'm seeing RFK do. He's got a lot of stuff. He's got a full plate. I mean, I don't envy that guy's job because he's got a lot of work to do.
Tying together, you know, we spent the first part talking about everything that was going on in the Ukraine with these kids and just the negative stuff of just terrible things that were being done to our children all across the world. And you look at what RFK is doing and openly talking about ending these COVID jabs for children and getting these artificial petroleum-based dyes out of children's diets and that sort of thing. And it reminded me of his acceptance speech of when he got tapped to be the HHS secretary. And I pulled up this quote just because it's just such a powerful quote, and I want to read it just real quick. When he got up to the microphone to accept that nomination from Trump, he said, "For 20 years, I've gotten up every morning on my knees and prayed that God would put me in a position where I could end the childhood chronic disease epidemic in this country. On August 23rd of last year, God sent me President Trump. He's kept every promise he's made to me, and he's kept every word in account and gone way beyond it." And the reason I bring that up is RFK, by all appearances, is telling us that he has prayed that God would give him the avenue to stop these epidemic childhood diseases. So when we hear him talking about, you know, by September he's going to announce to the nation what has caused autism, and that he is doing away, at least with part for now, these childhood immunization orders and that sort of thing. The guy is doing exactly what he told us he was going to do. And I just say praise God for him.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we need to keep him lifted up in prayer, too, because he's coming against these Moderna and these Pfizers, you know, these both multi-billion dollar, you know, bigwig mafia, Jewish, Israeli companies that stand to lose a fortune. And he's standing up against against a bunch of giants, too. So I encourage people to just he is a man, but he's a man that's out there, that he's on the front lines. He's doing a work, and he's, you know, he's publicly confessed his Lord and Savior to be Jesus Christ. And yeah, I think we need to be praying for him and praying protection for him, because they would definitely like to see a guy like that taken out of his position, assassinated, taken out, and you know, he's costing them a fortune. He's waged war against them. So we definitely need to be keeping him lifted up in prayer.
As just a quick note too, I would encourage folks, I don't know if we have time or maybe another show, but he has openly spoke about the murder and assassination of his father and his uncle. And I'll tell you, he has pointed the finger toward Israel.
Yep.
On both accounts. And so I think this is a guy that, you know, when you're talking about him coming up against the money powers of our enemy, I don't think he's afraid of that, because he has openly spoke out against that before. So we do need to be in prayer for him on lots of fronts. But I would encourage people to look into that, because he has pointed his finger directly at the state of Israel.
Let's try to make a point of getting some more information on that, and we'll be talking about that in the future. I think that'll make a good topic. I'd like to discuss that here on Coffee.
You bet.
And I don't know, just another quick one. We've got a few more minutes left, but we got to move on. We've got about 5 minutes left, but I wanted to get this one in while we're talking about you know, vaccinations and FDA and RFK. There was another article that just came out a couple of days ago, and its title was "Flu Shot Bombshell: This Year's Jab Actually Increases Your Risk of Getting Sick." And it was a publicly put out article, and it's like, okay, so you go get the jab. I mean, people do that because they don't want to get sick, or they want to prevent, you know, getting the influenza, the flu virus. They said that it actually increased the flu among vaccinated people by 27%, nearly 99% of the cases were influenza A. But I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. It's like, okay, so it's like you're coming out with data like that. It's like, okay, why? What's the point of getting it? I mean, hello. And to me, it's just, you know, there's got to be a spell out there. It's got to be insanity. And a lot of it, I think that there's, well, right now there's a lot of truths that are being brought to light. So praise God for that. And I think about the scripture that talks about those deeds of darkness that were done in darkness being exposed and brought to the light. So I see a lot of that. I'm encouraged by that. But we've got we got about 3 minutes left. Let's go to prepper tip of the week, and we'll close out with that. Will, you want to start off with that?
Well, I think we are in trying times, and I don't, one of the things that were on my mind this week, and mainly because I had a conversation with a guy at work about it, is water filtration and clean water. And one of the things that came up, I live in a hurricane area, and from time to time, you know, we lose power and having the ability to have clean water, potable water. So I just wanted to bring up that this is the time of year that we start thinking about, do we have enough water stored if a hurricane shuts us down for a few days? You know, how do we store that? And do we have proper filtration if we need an alternate source of water? So I would encourage people to really look into that. If you guys want to speak to that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something that we think about a lot, too. And it's, you know, I've got an irrigation ditch that runs pretty much from, it's been running, I don't know, for probably about 6 weeks now. Behind my house. And, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, well, you got water. You can go out your back door and you can get water. The problem is that water is, yeah, it looks clean. It tastes clean. But it's also that irrigation water, and every farmer that's up and down that irrigation ditch that's using that water, and the water's running back into there, is, you know, using glycophosphates and poisons and Roundup and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely something that, you know, you want to have a good water filtration system. You got to think about it. You know, can you get to water, and how can you purify it? How can you, you know, distill it? I mean, I think that really, if you have a way of distilling it, if it's been contaminated with some of that stuff, is the best thing that you possibly can do. The other thing is I really like a Katadyn pocket filter. I think that they are the best for a backpack scenario filter out there. I've looked at an awful lot of them. I believe the filter lasts for about 10,000 gallons. You can use it. You can use it if you're getting contaminated water out of your sink. You can use it. They make an adapter that you can put it on there. It's got a pump on it. You can, pump it through. It's fantastic. It uses silver membranes embedded in the filter system. And I think it's a phenomenal filter. They're not the cheapest one on the market, but it's my opinion that they are the best bang for your buck if you do need one of those. The other thing that I do like is, like the big Berkeys or the Katadyns or the Daltons, as far as like a whole house, something that you got to go out, you got to get water out of a mud puddle or a lake or a stream or something like that and filter it. I think that is a phenomenal way. They're hard to find right now, and they're expensive as well. But also, don't get caught up on the price. There's a lot of ways that you can make your own filter. I've seen a lot of them that have been built out of, 55-gallon drums, steel drums, plastic drums, stacked on one another, layered with rocks and charcoal, that can be very, very effective. And you can do that and save yourself a lot of trouble. I don't mean to ramble. I know we got a couple minutes left, but I'm going to make this quick. I just would say, get the information. If you want to learn how to build one of those water filters and what to do, don't wait until you need to be building it and then trying to figure out, it's like, oh, I should have downloaded that off the internet and I should have got I should have printed that, or I should have made a PDF of it, or I should have downloaded a video or something like that. I mean, go get the information. I think that type of information is good information that you need to have either printed or in a booklet form on your bookshelf, ready to go, or the knowledge, stored in your head. And you might have it in your head, but it might come something that you might have to describe it, or, tell one of your children how to do it, or a neighbor how to do it. That's why I'm a firm believer in having stuff backed up where I can either have it in print format. And I like having books. Go back to the books. What are you going to do when the internet's down? I really like having a lot of that stuff in print format. So, the other thing that, there's a lot of people that don't think about it. Power goes out, water grid goes down. What am I going to do for water? If you don't have a new tankless, hot water heater, that's always definitely a good place to start. You can drain your hot water heater out. You got 60, 80 gallons. That is quite a bit. If you're conservative with it, that's enough to keep your household in water for a short period of time. And, there's a reason that we don't use any of the chemicals in the back of our toilet tanks. And, it'd be a last resort. And I wouldn't, want to do that, but if it had to and I needed water, there's a couple gallons in each one of your toilets. That there's a reason not to use the blue tablets that turn everything every different color and make it smell nice. It's a way of, you can get some water, and just going to the lowest part of a person's house and draining a water pipe, there's generally 10 to 15 gallons of water in your residual in your house. So just stuff to think about that maybe you hadn't thought about before.
Yep. And I think if you've got some vinegar jugs, different things like that, they're cheap plastic jugs. You don't have to go buy jugs if you're doing it on the cheap. Save the jugs, rinse them out, get yourself some colloidal silver, fill them with water. They hold a gallon, fill them with water, put a couple drops of colloidal silver in there. They will keep on the shelf that way for a very long period of time. Preferably, you'd like to see it without chlorine in it, but there's not really any reason you can't have at least a few gallons set back that way. That buys you some time to get other things in motion and prepared for, to try to get yourself up and running, you know, buy yourself some time for not much as far as.
Yeah,
I like
good
it.
Point.
Yeah.
All right, and we're going to close out with that. Men, I want to thank you for being here. And, folks, thank you for tuning in and listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here this morning. Join us for church tomorrow by going to www.scriptures4america.org. Good day, folks.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise Yahweh, for out of sight. graven on my hands, and I will gather all those who gather. They will possess their land. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. For out of Zion comes your deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Chosen thee, behold, and for your iron I'll give you silver, for your brass I'll give you gold. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yahweh, for out of Zion comes your deliverer in the year of Jubilee. Shall